Barrel It Up.
I'm Jay Jambrone. If you're listening or watching, welcome. Today I have the pleasure of talking to someone I've known for certainly more than 30 years. So we're aging each other here. Even so, I'm sure we're going to learn a few things today that we don't know previously. And I want to welcome him to the show, Herb. Welcome to Barrel It Up.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to the interview.
Now, are you a Southern California native?
Yeah, I was born in Norwalk, or I lived, grew up in Norwalk, California, and I've always lived in Southern California.
Now, was baseball the first sport in your life?
Yeah. As a kid, my parents got me into Little League, and then with my friends and stuff, we would go and play over the line, like just about every day.
Yeah.
Especially in the summertime. We would play like from, it just seemed like early in the morning to late in the evening. We just had anywhere, as long as we had at least four guys, we would play over the line. I can remember going the whole summer, not even wearing any shoes. Go down to the elementary school was about two blocks from my house. Everybody would meet down there and we'd just play over the line. And play for hours and hours at a time.
Yeah, that's exactly what I grew up with at the park, the field. It wasn't a great park, but we had little bald spots where first, second, and third base were. But yeah, so as many guys as we could get, you know, it trains you where to hit too. You know, you're only allowed to hit to the one side and all that kind of stuff. And no matter where the pitch is, that kind of thing. And so had you been throwing the ball with anybody before actual Little League started?
My dad. I played catch with my dad and stuff.
Yeah. Had he played ball before?
No, he really wasn't a player. He didn't really play at all. So it was amazing that he did that. We would go play catch and stuff. And then I got on the Little League teams and stuff. But I can even remember in the beginning, though, in Little League, it's like a pitcher would be throwing really fast. And I was kind of scared. I remember being scared. I'd be like, I don't know if I want to go up and bat. I remember one time I told my mom, because my mom went to every game. My dad not as much, but my mom would go to every game. And I remember one time I told her, I swallowed some gum and I my stomach hurts. I can't bat because the pitcher was throwing pretty hard and I was like afraid. So I just remember that's the way I started off. I was a little bit afraid and stuff. But as I got older, I just loved it more and more. So,
yeah. How can you remember that first year in Little League at all?
The first year, I remember we wore our uniforms were basically T-shirts and a hat.
Yeah,
I don't remember. We didn't even have pants. We had to wear jeans or whatever. And I remember our games were actually weren't in the Little League stadium because there was a pretty cool little Little League stadium.
Oh.
Only about two blocks from my house, but wow. But we actually had to play the games at the elementary school next door because we were just little kids. So I remember that we didn't get there because of playing the really good field. And then I remember going to tryouts and stuff. I do remember that. I remember watching a kid catch him fly balls and how he caught it right at his left shoulder. And I thought, that looks good. I followed what he did and I was able to catch the ball, which I don't remember even doing that before. Excuse me. So it was, but it was a lot of fun. And I was a pitcher then too, which
I
quit doing later. And I remember giving up a grand slam to one kid I knew. So those things are in my mind. I remember those things. Yeah.
Well, you know, at that age, you probably didn't have a whole lot of different pitches to throw either, right?
No, I tried to throw a curveball, but I remember a coach coming up to tell me one time, you know, I got to quit bend. I would bend my arm way around to get it that extra spin, but I would do it before the pitch was even coming. So I was definitely tipping my pitches, but at Little League, I don't know how much difference that made. But
no, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, he was telling me, you're tipping your pitch. You're.
Now,
so I remember those things. Yeah, Little League, yeah. But I went on and played in high school and college and everything. But so I have these little memories of as a kid playing Little League. So that was a lot of fun.
What was the structure? Did you join a different team each year in Little League or was it? You know, mine was
from like, what do they have, like minors and majors or something?
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I remember being on like the Ravens was my first team. That was like the beginning team. And then I think I was on the Yankees or something as I got older, as I was in the majors or whatever they would call it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always interesting. I always ask people about that because it's so different. in different parts of the country. And in our area, there was no such thing as minors and majors. If you joined a team at age 9, you stayed with that team until you were age 12. You didn't, you know, you weren't, so you had to work your way into the lineup, you know, because you were a 9-year-old competing against 12-year-olds. And so you had to wait your turn.
Yeah, I think at 8 years old, I think is when we first started. And that way you were like in the lower league. And then as you got a little older, I'm not sure what the age brackets were, but as you got older, you'd go into the majors and actually got to play in the Little League stadium. And
yeah,
that was pretty cool.
What were you, once you stopped pitching, what positions were you playing?
I was an outfielder then. Yeah. In fact, I always played outfield. When I went into high school, I played a little bit of third base and a little bit of second, but mostly I played outfield. And
what were those coaches like in Little League?
Little League, I just remember it was the father of one of the players. That's what I remember. And I don't remember a whole lot about Little League. I just remember playing. Yeah, so long ago now. You're talking like
That's right. That's
65
right.
Years ago.
I was talking to somebody recently, and he remembered every single coach he had in Little League. And what effect did that coach had on him and everything. I can't believe that.
I don't remember that. I remember playing baseball even in junior high. I don't even remember who the coach was. I played in junior high, and then going into high school, I do remember the coaches in high school. But just too many teams, too many games. Yeah.
So you got to be 13 then. What did they call that in that area? Was that Pony League?
We went into Pony League. Yeah, I do remember playing Pony League. And I did play on a travel ball team for a short time too, I think they called it Connie Mack. I played Connie Mack for a while too. That was different.
Were they successful teams or?
What was that question?
Well, were they successful teams or?
I don't recall winning any championships or anything like that. No. Yeah, no, not, no, just, we just, I remember playing and we played it, a nice little stadium, but nothing that really stands out for my younger days, more as I got older.
So now you get up to be a freshman in high school. That you're on the freshman team or?
Yeah, I played a freshman, and that's when I don't even remember as a kid. I don't remember ever hitting any home runs or anything in Little League. I guess I was pretty weak. I don't remember, but I do remember as a freshman, I played at Excelsior High School, and they had a freshman field that had like a short fence, like maybe 250 or something. And I started hitting home runs, and that was pretty cool. I really liked that a lot, and I got the attention of the varsity coach and stuff too. So that was good, because then I went right from after freshman, I went right into varsity. So that was nice.
Was there anything that you could look back on that says I changed this that created that situation or?
I think playing Little League, I'm not Little League, but over the line a lot, because there was a fence there. I don't know. I'm guessing it was an elementary school, and there was a fence that we hit by over. You had to hit it by these trees and get it over the fence for a home run. And as we played Little League, over the line. Shoot. And so I could hit it, got to where I could hit it over that fence and over the line. And, I think maybe just doing that, just trying to hit it over that fence all the time, probably helped create a little bit of power.
Yeah.
But I didn't really have any coaching that I can recall that was really specific on hitting styles or anything like that. I know I read a lot of books on like Henry Aaron and Mickey Mantle.
Oh yeah.
And I read a little bit about that. I tried to follow what Henry Aaron did, which is actually everything wrong, you know, hitting off your front foot, rolling your wrist. And those are the guy. And I really used to really try to use my wrist a lot. Now it's a problem because I hit a lot of ground balls. So I'm rolling over on everything. But at the time it was working, just snapping the wrist, creating more power. But it was kind of like from following, just watching Henry Aaron videos, not videos, but just watching the games that he was playing in.
Yeah, that's true.
Videos.
my thing was Ted Williams, getting tips from Ted Williams about strike zones and, you know, pick your spot, and if he can throw three outside your spot for strikes, then good luck, you know, to him. He's, you know, wonderful. And but most of the time they can't, so you've got that spot, things like that. And I didn't have anybody working on my hitting until Pony League All-Stars when I was 14. That was the first time I had anybody a coach that actually worked on my swing at all.
Yeah, I don't recall anybody really helping with a swing. It's weird. Even when I got into college and stuff, they really didn't say much. They just kind of sent you up there and had you hit. It's unfortunate. So I didn't really have any direction on hitting. I think I would have liked it if I had listened to Ted Williams and stuff. I'm one of the guys that swings the first pitches all the time. Anything in the strike zone, I'm swinging at it. It's just I hardly strike out because of that, but I hardly walk either.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does cut down your strikeouts if you're swinging an inch. Because you're hitting the first or second pitch, you never get to two strikes.
I guess in our generation, that's how we all had to learn, because we just – you know, we didn't have private coaches like the kids have now and all that. And, you know, and
yeah. And I always had dreams. I always had dreams of being in the majors, but I didn't work hard at it. So that was, you know, making the pros or something. It was difficult. You know, you dream about it, but you don't follow through. You didn't have the discipline or something to go out there hours and hours at a time.
Yeah. No private coaching, like I said, and all that. And you know, I've talked to Don Johnson a couple of times about that, and you know what he has to put up with, you know, with these private coaches and how they get, you know, how he gets these kids and has to make all these changes because they've, you know, had been told that they have to do certain things at the plate. And
yeah, that's not, yeah, that never happened. So. Yeah. And so I played at Excelsior High School and made it through high school. I went to,
How were those Excelsior High School teams?
We won our league, and we had a couple of guys. One guy got drafted and didn't even go. I was like, I would love to get drafted. I don't know what he's doing. And he just kind of, he was more into partying and not really wanting to work. And he had the skills and stuff, and he just kind of wasted it. So I think he was just more of a party guy. Wow. I remember we had a, you know, over spring break, we had a tournament and stuff. And he told the coach, I'm going to go to the river for that week. I'm not going to play. And the coach was really upset. And I remember they got into like almost a shouting match over it. But the kid said, I'm going to the river. I want to go party. And well, the rest of us were like, just loving the fact that we were going to play in this tournament over spring break, but no. Yeah. So it's just all in your, what you want in life and stuff. But I wish I would have had his skills, because he was much better than me.
Anybody looking at you at that point in high school?
No. I was just a regular player. I wasn't anything special. In my mind, I thought I wanted to play. I'm like, you know, it's like you dream. Oh, I want to be in the majors. I want to be like Mickey Mantle. I want to be, Henry Aaron. But in reality, I was just, you know, an average player, nothing special. So, but I still wanted to play in a college and stuff. So I went, I was a walk-on at Cerritos, which is a junior college, obviously. Yeah. And, Kincaid was the coach then. And he's like the winningest. I don't know if you ever Google him or if you never heard of him. He's the winningest junior college coach ever. And Cerritos won several state titles. I think.
Right.
51-0 one year, setting a record. They didn't even lose one game. But even on that, he was like, you would show up there and it would have like 80, 90 guys are trying to for that team.
Wow.
And he never cut anybody, but he just started treating you worse and worse.
I'm not going to cut you, but I sure hope you quit. Yeah.
It was like, they would have you. I was catching bullpens and I'm not a catcher. I was catching bullpens. And then you got to hit less than all the guys that were like the top players. They would get to hit like 5-6 times through a round, and you'd hit once.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it was pretty tough. And I at that time, you know, I got more into my girlfriend or whatever. And so that was unfortunate. Yeah. So I kind of just dropped out of there. But I went to Long Beach State the next year, and there they had like a frosh soft team or whatever. So
Oh yeah.
I played on that instead. So which was nice.
Oh
I
yeah.
just saying that. And then you go in there and they say, "Oh, where were you?" I went to junior college. I went to Cerritos. Oh, Cerritos. And then that meant something. But I didn't even really, I didn't play. I played in some scrimmages and stuff, and that was it. So, but I was an outfielder there, and I was an outfielder at Long Beach State. And, but it was us on the frosh soft team. And I did play there quite a bit. And
Now, did they play the kind of schedule that the varsity team would play, or?
yeah, you played really good schools and stuff. It was you just played on the college or the varsity team played at Blair Field, but the soft or frosh soft team, as they called it, you played on campus.
Yeah, I
And
remember that field, yeah.
yeah, it was fun. I had a good time there. But like I said, I don't remember the coach there either. It sounds crazy. I remember the very first game of the season though. I was batting third, so that's a where you put your best hitter. So that was nice.
Yeah.
It's really looking forward to that. And on at the time though, I was already married. My wife was having a baby, and
Oh, goodness.
that day that the game was first game of the season, batting third, I'm all into it. I get a call. Oh, she's gone into labor, and I had to write
Oh,
I had to write it. I didn't even know where the coach was. I had to write him on the bulletin board where you made comments and stuff. I had to put a comment on there that I was gonna miss the game, and I went, and my firstborn child came. So yeah, I was married, had a kid at 20 years old. So it was hard to play baseball, work, and go to school, which is what I was doing at the
yeah.
time.
What was your major in that time?
At that time, I jumped around. I was like an engine. I started off as an engineering, then I went to pre-law. I went to all these different things, and I was actually working as a park and recreation. I was working in Bell Gardens as a recreation leader, and so I changed my major because I like sports. I like the recreation part of it, so I changed it to as a health, physical education, recreation. I switched, and thinking I could probably be a PE teacher at a high school or even work recreation, depending on how it went. So I was working at Bell Gardens, going to Long Beach State at the time. And but anyway, so as that year as that year went through, I was thinking I wanted to go play baseball more, and they had a lot of meetings where they were talking about all these great recruits they were bringing in, and all I'm like,
Ooh.
this doesn't sound good. And I had a couple of guys that went to high school where they were playing at Whittier College, and I thought, you know what, let me try to transfer over there. So I talked to that coach, and yeah, he wanted me to come. So I was like, okay, well, I can go over there and I can play all the time
Yeah,
over here.
yeah.
So that sounded good to me. And initially, I told him, "Oh yeah," and I thought, I still in my back of my mind, I'm thinking, "I want to make pros. The only way I can make pro, I can't make it as an outfielder. There's a zillion of them. I got to make it as a. If I can hit as good as I do and play shortstop,
Oh,
I could really have a chance."
yeah.
So that summer, I played in one of those Mike Brito leagues out of Southgate, and so I played there, and I was playing on a team. The only team that spoke a little bit of English. And I guess all these teams that all spoke Spanish, but I played shortstop for that team. And it was called the Aztecs. I still remember that. In
Oh,
fact, I even
wow.
won the batting t champ or batting title. I kept that trophy. That was one of the only trophies I kept for a long time. Now I don't even know where it's at. But I won the batting championship in that league, and I was playing shortstop. And I
Wow.
thought, oh, this is really good. So I go over to Whittier. And I tell them I'm a shortstop, and I can hit and all this stuff. So the first time we took infield, the coach comes up to me and says, "You're not a shortstop." So I said, "Oh yeah, I really am an outfielder." So I worked on playing shortstop the whole summer, and for that league it was good enough. But for playing in college, no, I was not a shortstop. I didn't have the flexibility or the range or anything else you needed to play shortstop, so I got moved to the outfield. But yeah, at Whittier it was fun. We won that league too. We had and the pitcher, one of the pitchers we had, he made, and he was the same one I went to high school with.
Wow.
He played in the minor leagues, but he got drafted, but he never made the big leagues. But we had some pretty good players on that team, and that was a lot of fun. But again, the instructions from the coach were not anything specific.
That's amazing. You know, between Long Beach and Whittier, you'd think these guys would be taking you aside and working on things, and you
Nah,
know.
they really didn't. But we're talking 19, what year was I at Whittier? Like 75, 76, 77. I was in there 76 and 77 in Whittier.
Yeah.
In Long Beach State, I was there in 1975. And it just really didn't, it just
Well,
kind of played.
now you talked about the Brito League and all that stuff. Now, I told you earlier that I had interviewed somebody at the tryouts that they had for prospective players for SoCal MSBL. And the guy that I interviewed, and I'm going to remember his name, and when we get off, I'm going to give it to you, because he played in that league probably fairly close to about that time. Now, what he indicated to me was that there was money involved for the players.
None
Did you
for
run into
me.
that?
I never got any. No, I never got any. I just remember playing in the league, and yeah, like I said, the team that I was on, it actually practiced at Excelsior High School. That's how I ended up getting on it, because I was from Excelsior, so I knew the I mean we practiced at that field. And it seemed like we even might have had like one or two games there, but most of our games were in Southgate, and we played against the other teams there. And they had some pretty close fences at some of the fields, so it was really easy to hit home runs. So I remember hitting a lot of home runs and had a pretty good batting or a good batting average, because I did get a trophy for that. But
Yeah.
that's only, like I said, one of the only trophies I kept for a long time. But
Yeah, I guess there was a lot of wagering that went on in the stands,
that could be happening.
and if somebody had a particularly good day, somebody'd come up and give them a handshake with something in their hand, and that kind of thing, you know.
No, I didn't see that, but I didn't speak Spanish either. And mostly everything was pretty much in Spanish. I was one of the few gringos that was playing in that league. Weren't very many of us.
So after Whittier, was there any baseball at that point, or did it just
I
stop?
know. So once I already I had a wife and a kid, and I was graduating college at the time, and so I thought, well, I gotta get a real job, and no baseball, no nothing. I tried to get a job as a teacher. We're talking 1977, and the teaching jobs there were none. So I did so a little bit of substitute teaching, but to get a full-time teaching job, there weren't really any. I had worked at Bell Gardens Recreation for several years by that point, putting together the softball leagues, and we had like a little league thing that we put on. I ran that. I ran all these different programs there. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll be a recreation superintendent. And so I applied for a couple of different places in that. And there was, I remember down in Long Beach and some areas down there, I applied for these jobs, and I was like 22 years old, 23. There was like 40 people applying, and something 40 something years old was getting the job. So it was like there wasn't the really good opportunities. And so it just turned out that the superintendent at Bell Gardens was actually going to go to Diamond Bar, and that position was opening. And I'd already worked there like 5, 6 years and ran most of their programs. And so I applied for that and got to where there was like three or four candidates left. I thought, oh, I got a really good shot at this. And they gave it to somebody from outside that was much older. And they told me, though, they said, why don't you apply for the police department? I had never even thought about applying for the police department. Didn't even cross my mind. I remember going to the little steakhouse right there. Sometimes it was right by the park, and sometimes I would see the police officers in the steakhouse. And I always went and I thought, oh, they look really cool in their uniforms. I like the I thought, and that was about it. So that was the only thing I thought. Oh, they look really cool. But I never thought about being in the police department or anything. So I applied for Bell Gardens Police Department, and I think they had like three openings, and there was they gave us a general knowledge test, And I think, man, several hundred people took that test, but I had just graduated college, so I knew a little bit. And so I did really well on that test. I think I might have scored even the highest score on that, the written test. But then they gave an oral interview, which I knew nothing about police work at all. And so, but I think I overall came in like third. So I got hired by Bell Gardens Police Department.
Oh my
But
God.
yeah, so that was really nice. I got hired. I had no background, no anything, but I got lucky. And they hired us one day, and the very next day we started the police academy. And you're supposed to wear a khaki uniform. Well, we hadn't even had a chance to get any of that information, the uniform or anything else. So they told us just wear a suit. And this was 1977. So the only suit I had was this peach colored suit with a big wide tie and these platform boots, kind of almost like Saturday Night Fever kind of a look. And that's what I wore to the police academy on the very first day. And so that was just that was kind of strange. But it was just, I walked up there the very first day. I arrive and I park my car. I go up to the parking lot where we're supposed to be, and there's no cars there. Which I got there right as we're, so I think it started like say 7 in the morning, and I got there like that's just the way I am. I got there right at 7. So I'm like, there's nobody around. I'm like looking at where is everybody at? So I park my car, I get out, and I see some guy in a Smokey Bear hat and the like a Marine G TAC officer kind of thing. And I go up to him and I'm like, is there some kind of police academy around here somewhere? My peach colored suit. And he gets right in my face with that hat and just like almost pounding me in the face with that hat and starts screaming at me, "This is the right place. You're late, mister. Run, run, run. You run over there. Go, go, go." And so I'm like clomping across the parking lot, my suit going, "What the heck's going on? I never saw anything like that." Or I wasn't used to that at all. Anyway, so we that first day, we were doing push-ups, sit-ups, doing all kinds of in my suit.
Oh,
Like,
God, yes.
yeah, it was just kind of crazy. But yeah, so that was the first day of the academy. But yeah, it was an experience to say the least. Luckily, somebody told me before I went in there, they said, "Don't take anything personal. They're going to yell and scream at you. And just don't take it personal. Just laugh it off or whatever." And that was the best advice I ever had because they scream at you. They're right in your face. They're trying to make people quit. We started with like 125 people. We ended up with like, I think only like 50 something graduated, like way less than half. And it was a really a tough experience, but luckily, yeah, for taking tests, doing that kind of stuff, I just went through college. They had us running a lot, doing a lot of stuff, but I played baseball in college, so I was at least a little bit of shape. So I had those two things going for me. But things like shooting a gun, I never even held a gun in my life. Never didn't have any police background or anything. Where there was a lot of the people that were there came from the military, or they came through the cadets and the police explorers and that kind of stuff. So they had all this police knowledge that I didn't have. So that was my biggest problem. But standing in formation when those TAC officers and stuff started screaming at people, they're funny. I think sometimes I would be standing at attention, but I'd start laughing because somebody yelled at somebody else, and then I'd get in trouble for that. And they called me. I had an LGS written on my baton. It was a used baton. It was a wooden baton that somebody had scratched in their initials or
Oh,
something.
gee.
So they started calling me laughs, giggles, and smiles. And, hey, laughs, giggles, smile, go run. I'd be laughing, so I'd have to take off running. And they'd make you run down this little from where we did our formations down this dirt road up, and you have to ring a bell and then run back on the dirt road and go back in the formation. And then you'd get yelled at because your shoes were dusty. So I didn't have to do more push-ups and all that kind of stuff, but it was an experience, definitely an experience. But we're totally away from baseball, but
No, that's okay. As a matter of fact, that is a perfect place to stop our first time talking to Herb. We're going to talk to Herb some more on another show. But that's a perfect place to stop right now. But before we say goodbye on this segment, I've got a little house cleaning to do that I always tell everybody. And thank everybody for listening and or watching Barrel It Up. Please subscribe to the channel. Please follow the channel. It helps all channels like this grow. That's everybody will tell you that, and it's absolutely true. Also, please give us a rating. It's 1 to 5. I'm really happy so far. I just recently checked, and so far we all have all fives, which goes to having good guests. That's how we got all fives. You can leave comments at barrelitup@yahoo.com. Don't worry about spelling that. That'll be in the comments, in the description. Would love to hear from you. If you have somebody you feel should be on the show, please let us know who, why, and their contact information. And just like to get information from people, comments from people, just in general. If you'd like to see a complete list of everybody that we've talked to and who's already been on the show and who's coming up on the show, you can go to jjambrone.com and look on page 5. That's also, don't worry about the spelling, that'll be in the description. You can see video clips of various guests on both Facebook and Instagram. On Instagram, it's barrel_it_up. And I would also like to thank everybody that makes this show possible. Susan, my executive producer, she'll holler at me now. Susan, my executive producer, and Robin, my associate producer. And Herb, thank you for being on this one. We're going to talk to you again very shortly and pick up where we left off on the police department.